We just come through tremendous spiritual and uplifting festival season. So what do we talk about now? God is way ahead of us, as I didn't realize the subject of this sermon was the Sabbath after the last day of unleavened bread at first. So we've had Passover in memory of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, making it possible for all people to have salvation according to God's wonderful plan shown by the feasts and holy days of God. The night to be observed, starting the first day of unleavened bread, representing come out of Egypt, out of the bondage of sin, as the Israelites came out of Egypt, as Mr. Bradshaw was talking about. And then the last day, going through these days of trying to keep sin out. Of course, our focus is keeping sin out of our lives, spiritual sin out of our lives. And so now, this last day we had yesterday means we need to keep it out. As we go on today, we need to continue to keep sin out of our lives. But more importantly, we need to put that unleavened bread of Jesus Christ in our lives. You know, many organizations, there's a lot of things you can speak about. You think about this country and about the church and about the differences. But one thing really struck me a couple of months ago, actually when I started thinking about the topic for this sermon, many organizations have a ring of honor or a wall of honor. It is exclusive to those who have shown exceptional abilities to do what is right in extreme circumstances, such as firefighters, policemen, military personnel, healthcare workers, etc., etc. Well, similarly, we as Christians face that same thing. We are to be honorable people in extreme circumstances. We are to be honorable just like Jesus Christ when he was on earth. We are to live rightly no matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in. And every day we find ourselves in tougher, more evil circumstances every day. So what I'm going to talk about today is Christian honor. Christian honor. We need to be honorable people for God and Jesus Christ, for one another, and for people around us. Because this country really lacks honor. If there's anything going down the tubes, it's honor. You just cannot, it's hard to find an honorable person these days. So what is honor? I'm going to give a definition first. As a noun, one reason I thought about respect, but honor means high respect, great esteem. It means adherence to what is right or to a conventional standard of conduct. Something regarded as a rare opportunity and bringing pride and pleasure, a privilege. And as a verb, it's to regard with great respect. In other words, you honor someone like you honor your parents, right? Or you honor someone. And the second one is to fill an obligation to keep an agreement. All of these are very good definitions as a Christian. To be respectful, to have respect, to adhere to what is right, to a standard that God gives us, something regarded as rare opportunity, which we have been given, regarded with great respect, everything God's given us in our lives, what they have to be, and fulfill an obligation to God to keep the agreement we made at Passover, to follow him, serve him, trust him, and have faith in him and his son, Jesus Christ. So let's turn to 1 Peter 2:19 to 17. This is the basis of the sermon today, and there's going to be 4 points come out of this. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who were not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." We were called out because we probably need God more than anyone else. We're called the weak of the world. We're not the strong and powerful, and we're not the presidents and kings and leaders and congressmen. We're not all these rich people. We're called to seek God because we need him. All people do, but we just need them more. "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation." And I can tell you, especially at work in different places, people know if you're a little different. You don't have to say a thing. If you don't cuss, they know that. If you don't tell dirty jokes, they know that. They know if you're honorable, if you tell the truth, they know that. They can sense it. I've had people talk to me about that before. And I've had people apologize in a meeting. You know, a vice president apologized for cussing one time. And I never said a word. People do. And it's representing God. It's honor. So therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether in the king as the supreme, or to the governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So God's saying, do good, do right. That's the way you get along. That's the way you are as a Christian. That's the way you properly influence people. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. And here it is. There's 4 points here. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the king. I'm not going to take them in that exact order because I prayed about it and I think there's a different order to this. I think the first order is we have to honor God. Let's face it. If you don't honor God, none of the rest of it counts. You have to start by honoring God. Let's turn to Exodus 20, verse 1 to 11. We don't go to this much, but this is actually the first 4 commandments. I debated about whether to do this or not, but I think it's really apropos because we need to always have the commandments in our hearts and minds. We need to always follow them, and then we need to remember them. So Exodus 20, verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. So when God says no other gods, that means no other gods, period. Whether it's money, whether it's family, whatever it is. Now, family is right there behind God, don't get me wrong. But God has to be first. No other gods, nothing. He says, verse 4, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water beneath the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. But here's how wonderful God is. But showing mercy to the thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. We need to be in that condition, that we keep his commandments and he loves us and he's going to take care of us. And that you shall not take the name of the Lord your name in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So not just not saying, you know, wrong names of God, but not taking it wrong and doing things that are wrong. We need to do right things, because if we say we're godly and we follow God in every way and then we do something that's not godly, that's taking his name in vain. And then remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day of the Sabbath of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work. Nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger, which is in your gate. That covers everything, doesn't it, that you have responsibility for. Everything. Even your cattle. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rest the seventh day. Therefore the Lord bless the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Or he made it holy. That's what he did. That's what hallowed means. And this day is special because we come before God. They call this the test commandment because you got to put your job in line. You got to put your family on line. You got to put all your desires as a human being on line if you want to go do things. And you come before God. And it's a blessing. It's not a cursing. It's a blessing. Mankind may think it's a cursing to keep the Sabbath day, but it's not. It's a tremendous blessing. It's a tremendous blessing to be called, understand. And to honor God on this day. He says it's a commanded assembly to come here, to obey him and come here. If you are sick or just can't come, it's a long ways, understand. But if you can come to church, God wants you here because, and I'll talk about a few things later on, it's because God wants you to come before him, come before his people, and to set that example and to honor him and to honor other people. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 9. It's just over a few pages. Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 9. Verse 6, 5. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. He's saying here, yeah, we need to keep the commands, but they have to be in your heart. He said, you shall teach them diligently to your family, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you're walking away, when you lie down, and when you rise. Let's go back to 4. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, everything you do, everything you think, needs to be based on God's laws in our hearts and minds. It's the spiritual side of the laws that were given in Exodus 20. In other words, we don't just not kill someone, we don't hate them. We don't just commit adultery, we don't lust after someone. We don't do a half-truth, we just tell the total truth. You know, and we don't covet things, we do all these things, and we put God before all. It's an amazing thing to understand and know, and here it is in the Old Testament for us to look at, not just the New Testament. It's through the entire Bible. So we need to honor God by keeping his laws and his ways. Turn to 1 John 3, verse 22 to 24. This is one of my favorite scriptures because it really puts it in the perspective of if we honor God, we honor people too. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he gives us. So, you know, the world says the commandments don't save you. That's what the Jews were doing. Well, they were right. The commandments don't save you, but they are required. There's a difference. Because you have to keep the commandments. You have to repent from breaking the commandments to accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice. It's that simple. No, they don't save you. Jesus Christ's sacrifice does. But you have to keep them. You repent of breaking them, and then you go forward keeping them. And if you repent and accept Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the payment of them, then you can receive the Holy Spirit so you can live that way of life of keeping the commandments and honoring God. Let's turn to, and I always love this because it says if you love God and you love people, you keep his commandments. That's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful truth. It's a simple truth if you think about it. It really is. It may be hard to do, but it's a simple truth. 2 Corinthians 6. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 and 18. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 6, and verse 16. It says, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. He says, and I've got a note on the side of my Bible here. It says, keep our personal temples clean for God to dwell in. We honor God and keep it clean, and God can dwell in us. Therefore, in verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my son and daughter, says the Lord Almighty. That's why the start of the second group of commandments, honor your father and mother, is so important, because it represents honoring God. We are to have a clean temple for God to live in with the Holy Spirit. God wants to come out of this world and be like him and to be our father and us his sons and daughters. And God, one thing we always want to remember, if we have trials or tests or we get down, God wants it more than we do. God wants us to be his children more than we want to be his children. That's an amazing truth that we never need to forget. Anytime we need help, we call on God. We need to remember that God is there for us. God wants to help us, and God is more than willing and more than able and can do it. Let's turn to Luke, verse 14, chapter 14, Luke 14, 26 to 33. Luke 14, 26 to 33. This is pretty common scripture. Another one we should always have in mind at all times. Luke 14, starting in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, God says don't hate people. What he's talking about here, and I'm not going through the Greek and all that, he's talking about love less by comparison, because we have to love all people, and that's coming. We have to love all people. He's talking about love less by comparison. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intended to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation, not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war does not sit down and first consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. He says, lo, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. In other words, we should have counted the cost at Passover. And I remember my first Passover. I remember baptism. We can count the cost of baptism. And I was a little naive. I was had the first love. I think we've all faced that. And you don't realize how much human nature you have, how much you overcome. And God does that on purpose. But as we grow and we work year after year, God shows us more and deals with us more. I feel like I almost learned more this year than I ever have before, because I think I'm learning more about myself, and I want to learn more about myself, and God wants me to learn more about myself, and he wants me to grow and overcome and become a better person, be a more honorable person. But we must put Christ and Jesus Christ above all things. John chapter 5, verse 22 to 24. John 5, verse 22 to 24. In verse 22, it says, for the Father judges no one, but has commanded all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most surely I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in me, who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. So we have to honor God and Jesus Christ, the Father. They work totally together. They're in total unity and harmony. Not like some of the worldly religions put there, that they had that old mean God of the Old Testament and this loving, you know, wimpy-looking God of the New Testament. It's not so. They're both powerful. They're both strong. And they work together totally in harmony. And we have to honor both of them for their unique parts. God the Father being in charge of everything, and Jesus Christ, his Son, who makes it possible by a sacrifice to come to him. Verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. He was talking to the Jews who really didn't believe the scriptures, but they wanted to do their own rule, their own laws. So, but you're not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I knew that you do not have the love of God in you. He says, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from only God? So he's saying we need to honor God and realize as we honor God, God does honor us as being his children. That's probably hard to take sometimes as a human being, but God does honor us if we really commit ourselves to him and really try to grow and overcome and have his Holy Spirit. One last scripture, 1 Samuel 2:29-30, on that point. 1 Samuel 2:29-30. Why do you kick at my sacrifice, my offering, as God is talking here? which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me. He was talking to Eli here, who had wicked sons, and he let his wicked sons, you know, do so many evil things. So God says, why have you done that? He said, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place, and honor your sons more than me, to make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people? In other words, they were stealing the offerings, God's offerings. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father will walk before me forever. But now, the Lord says, far it be from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. So God says, if you honor me, I will honor you. What good more could you ask than God to honor you as a weak human being with God's Holy Spirit? The second thing is we need to honor leaders. We need to honor leaders. You know, I've really prayed about that lately because we have some weak leaders in this country. And, you know, I realize we got to be careful what we say about them. And we got to pray for them because God has given the leaders over us. Because God has a bigger plan than we do. I used to, as an engineer, everything has to be cut and dried, you know, everything's in this place. And I used to think that we need to do things right, and we do. But in this society, in this world, don't expect everything to be justice and right, because this world isn't just and right. We won't have justice and right until Christ comes back and puts everything right. And then it's the results that God are right. It won't be right now, but God will make things right in the world tomorrow. But we can't want everything perfect. We're not going to have a perfect president. We're not going to have a perfect governor. We're not going to have anything perfect. We're not going to be perfect. Nothing. Everything that God does is for his kingdom, for the kingdom of God, for all people, is to make things right in the end result. And that's what we have to look at. That's why we have to honor governments. Let's turn to Romans 13, 1-7, because all governments are allowed by God. God has a plan for each one of us. He has a plan for the nations. He has a plan for the world tomorrow. And all these things who he puts in charge as part of that plan. Romans 13, 1-7, starting in verse 1, says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. It says, therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. It says, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for there are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You know, I live in Sand Springs. We live in a blessed place. Tremendous blessed. It's real safe here. We have economical. We have good housing. We're really blessed. And even if we didn't, we'd still be blessed because God dwells in me and he dwells in us. God's spirit really makes a difference. God's spirit gives us contentment and a true joy, joy of wanting to do what's right and caring for other people and not wanting to be super physically oriented. But we need to yield to government authorities because God gave them for our benefit, not for our harm. Now, there are some that are evil. I mean, let's face it. But God can take care of you if you just follow him and do what he says. And we need to realize that God does. I mean, remember Nebuchadnezzar, how much of an evil king was. But yet God put him over stuff and even kept his kingdom while he was running around as an animal for 7 years. So I think God did that for one reason, to let us know who's in charge, because he is in charge. So if we beat against the governments, even though they might not be right, long as we don't follow them in doing something that's wrong, God says you shouldn't do, we don't do that. If they say for you to lie and cheat and steal, you don't do that. If they say you to break the Sabbath, you don't do that. But you follow them otherwise. And God will, and that gives God the honor, and he will honor us, and he will take care of us. It may not be the way we think of it, but God will take care of us. Ephesians 6, verse 5 to 9. Ephesians 6, verse 5 to 9. It's 6, 5. Ephesians 6, 5. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service. In other words, not just like people, you know, they claim lip service. There's a lot of claim lip service this day, but it's what you do, not what you say. What you say and what you do should be the same thing. It's not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. In other words, we serve and honor people as we're doing it through Jesus Christ and God the Father. What a perspective that we must never forget and we must always live by. You know, in Samuel, I'll turn to one of them. In 1 Samuel 24, 1 to 7, 1 Samuel 24, 1 to 7, I'll go through one here. David was a man after God's own heart. You know, I always looked at David in a lot of ways because he reminds me of me so much. He was far from being a perfect individual. He had his flaws. But you know what made him a man after God's heart was that he repented and sought God's help and his forgiveness and his help and loved God's laws and everything that he did. Like I say, it wasn't the greatness of him as it was his forgiveness and his attitude toward God. Let's see, 1 Samuel 24, 1 to 7. Here's an example that he set for us. Now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that he was told him, saying, "Take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend his needs. In other words, he went to the bathroom. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.'" And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe, and he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master and the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing as the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went his way. David was so affected by this that he knew it was wrong. He was upset because he cut the robe off of Saul. What an example. Someone was out trying to kill him. If Saul had known he was in the back of the cave, he might have killed him, except God wouldn't have allowed it. But that's a tremendous example we need to have. Love your enemies yourself. Give honor to people. And then let God take care of it. One last scripture, 1 Timothy 6, 1 to 6, on honoring leaders. 1 Timothy 6, 1 to 6. Verse 1, "Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed." He's saying we do this because of God, because God tells us to do, and so that we won't blaspheme God's name, doing something against what God says to do. "And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them, because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words that our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil, suspicions. Unless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. For such withdraw themselves, and there's a withdrawal of people who don't follow that, who follow this teaching of God, this way of God. And in verse 6, now godliness with contentment is great gain. So we have to be content with the things the way God puts them, the way God sets them. That doesn't mean we're content with our conversion, our growing and overcoming. We need to continue to be growing and overcoming. We need to be content where they have, as long as we're staying focused and we're having a strong relationship with God and His Son Jesus Christ. But we need to be content with growing too. We can't be stale. You either go up, you either go down, or you go up. And God wants us to always go up, always grow and overcome. Third point, honor fellow Christians. We need to honor one another, care for one another, ask blessings upon one another, pray for one another, want the best for one another in every way. We are the example of God on this earth right now. God has called us to be His children, to be example, and then treat us like that. Treat us like God's children. Treat one another in a godly manner. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 10. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord. In other words, we're to keep the commandments. He's setting the tone here. You know what you should do. We need to be doing it. For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should obtain from sexual morality, that each of you should know how to process, possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. In other words, he's saying we need to fight our fleshly lusts. We need to fight them with our whole being, with God's power. I've said it many times. Anytime I get any kind of thought at all, I take it to God immediately through the obedience of Christ. It's what God says. Never let it go. Never let it fail. Never let it go toward anything. He says, verse 6, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. He says, don't take advantage of brethren in this avenue. Maybe somebody's weak in that area. Don't take advantage of them. We need to pray for them, encourage them, help them. That's what we need to do. He says, for God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. We have to truly have the love of God in us, to love and care for one another. And I don't care what happens. If somebody says something wrong to you or you think they offend you, we need to take it to God. We need to say, you know, I don't think they really meant it. I've not seen very many problems at church with people not getting along, but if you do, you have to work it out. You go to Matthew, I think it's 18, but anyhow, you have to work it out. We are the children of God, and we need to be the children of God, and we need to act like the children of God. And I know it needs God's help to do that, because I know I need a lot of it, and we all do. Ephesians 5, verse 14. Ephesians 5, verse 14 to 21. Ephesians 5, starting in 14. It says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. In other words, this way of life, this honorable way of life, is a wise way of life. It says, redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. How can you go wrong living those words? God's will is that we speak and treat one another in the Spirit with encouraging words and actions to reverence of God. I was thinking about what our song leader said a while ago about the music coming from this. It is wonderful. And the band and the, you know, instruments, it's really wonderful to hear everybody singing and honoring God. It's really a wonderful thing. That's one of the things God says to do, to honor Him. That's why the song service is so important, because you're honoring God. Let's turn to Romans 12 and verse 4. I have quite a few scriptures. I prayed about, cutting them down, but it just seems like these words that God gives us are so powerful and so good. And God says it so much better than I do. Romans 12, verse 4. Starting in verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." No, we don't have the same function. Some speak, whether good or bad. Some serve, set chairs. Some handle kitchen. Some, send cards and letters to people. We have different functions. We have different things. Someone put the flowers here. That's a different function. I don't put the flowers. I probably could, but I wouldn't be as good at it. Everybody has a function. That's what he's talking about here. As a group, with a group of the body of Jesus Christ, of the church of God. In verse 5, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having the gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it to our ministering. He who teaches is teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." I would say, though, all of us should have a little bit of one of these. Some of them more than others, but all of us should have a little bit of one of these. And we can pray about it and work on it, too. That's something God says to do. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality." He goes on to say, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." He said, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." So we need to do that. Wonderful, positive instructions from God's word. It's hard for a human to being to do without God's Spirit. It's impossible. So it's one reason we need more of God's Spirit, so we can do more of this. And to honor God, to honor leaders, to honor one another as fellow Christians, as fellow members of the Church of God. Turn to Ephesians 4, 1 to 6. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. Starting in verse 1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." So we're to be humble, loving, patient, and live in unity and harmony with all the brethren. And one last scripture, Hebrews 19. I was talking about why the Sabbath day is not just being obedient to God. We need to desire to keep the Sabbath day, desire to be obedient to God. But here's, God gives us in Hebrews 10, verse 19, 25, more reasons. And the reasons here are because we need to serve and give and care for one another. We need to honor our fellow Christians. in this church and our other churches of God. Hebrews 10, verse 19. He says, therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ. So the start of these holy day season, we commemorate Passover, remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which makes it possible. So he says, we need to come boldly because of that. He says, verse 20, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from all evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. He says, let us hold fast the confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And he goes and he says all that, and he says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love with good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So he says, one of the big reasons that we come is to encourage, exhort, and care for one another. That is part of God's way of life. It's part of honoring one another, part of honoring God and honoring one another. So the last one, we need to honor all people. One reason is because they're all God's children, no matter what they do or what they think or how they live. They're all made in God's image. They all have the potential to be a child of God in the kingdom of God. It's one of the first things we need to remember. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, says, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. He didn't say just for one another, did he? He said for all men. For kings and for all those in authority. This goes back to the second point about honoring your leaders, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all people to come to the knowledge of the truth. He's got a plan for it, and of course most people are going to be in the world tomorrow. We need to have that same desire, that same concern, and pray for the same thing. And in verse 8, it says, I desire, therefore, that the men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So it's talking about us. And I mentioned it several times in this chapter about praying, caring for people and praying for what's right and do what's right, praying for attitude and mind and praying for other people. And don't pray that, well, correct this person so he treat me right. No, pray that you correct me so I treat the other person right. That's the way we need to look at things. That's how we look at people in the world. They don't know us. If people aren't called, they really don't understand. It doesn't mean they're not trying hard and they're not doing what they think is right. There's some awful good people that go give food and clothing and help people all around this world. They could put us to shame. It's not our time now to do that. It's our time to be overcomers and growing so that we can help them in the world tomorrow to learn about the real God. And we need to really have that care for them. 2 Timothy, turn over a few pages. 2 Timothy, verse 2. 24 to 26, 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26. It says, a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that you may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. What he's saying here is, you know, don't go around saying, you're a sinner. Boy, you're terrible. Or why don't you quit that? You know, that's not God want. That's what he wants. He wants us to set the example, to honor people, let them come to us. And if we have answers, we can give them, give it to them. But pray for your attitude to give them a really godly answer. If they want a drink of water, don't turn on the fire hydrant, okay? Just be careful how you treat people, how you talk to them. Be honest. But use tact and wisdom and ask God to help you. And always have that desire that you want people to learn the truth and want them to be converted and overcoming. But also have respect for them if it's not their time and they're not really wanting to learn God right now. God knows how to take care of them. We don't. We don't even know how to take care of ourselves. But God does. That's the key. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 to 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 to 12. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2. Verses 11. As you know how we exhorted. Make sure this is right. Yes. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children, that you should walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as word of men, but as in truth, the word of God which also effectively works in you who believe. So we need to try to lead a quiet way of life, not a busybody in treating those outside the church properly. And I don't think that's the right scripture, but it is a valid scripture. I think my computer must have made a mistake. Yeah, we know better than that, don't we? Let's go to Romans verse 12, chapter 12, verse 17 to 21. One last scripture here about treating other people with respect and love and honor. Romans 12, 17 to 21. He says, in verse 17, Romans 12, to repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I think that's really important. Even if I want to take vengeance on someone, I wouldn't know how to do it anyhow. I would do it wrong. But God knows how to do it. He knows how to do it with compassion and love and mercy and what kind of what they need. And they may not need what we might think they need. Probably not. You know, we tend to be rash human beings. But God isn't irrational. I mean irrational human beings. But God is not. He's rational. He knows what to do. He always knows what to do in every case. He says in verse 20, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. It reminds me of the parable of the Good Samaritan, which was actually enemy of the Jews, but the priest and the Levite wouldn't take care of the poor man who had been robbed. But the Samaritan did. He was his enemy, but he took care of him, even gave him a hotel room and bandaged him up, took care of him in every way. He says, your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire in his head. He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So that's a lesson for us on how to treat people. Overcome evil with good. Always do the right thing as a Christian. Live peaceable with all people as much as possible. And be honorable in all things and overcome evil with good. Well, we've covered 4 points. First of all, we must honor God. Without honoring God, nothing counts. We have to always honor God. We have to follow our leaders as long as they don't tell us to not follow God. We have to honor them and respect them because God is the one that puts them in charge. God has a plan, and the leaders are in place because God's got a plan for all human beings. And that's why his prophecy works out. That's why everything's going to work out the way God says it's going to. So if we beat against the leader and we make fun of mocking, we're mocking God. And we're also not realizing that who God put in there is according to his plan. His plan is for all people. We need to honor one another and care for one another, pray for one another, want the best for one another, want all to be converted and to see someday one another in the kingdom of God. We also want the same thing for all people. One reason we go to the Feast of Tabernacles every year on the last great day. So it'd be encouraged in God's plan to see God has a plan for everyone. And we must want the exact same thing. We must want eternal life and goodness and unity and harmony for every person on this earth. Turn to 1 John 5, 1-4. Some concluding remarks. 1 John 5:1-4. 1 John 5. One reason I like this is this world makes fun of God's commandments, and yet they say they love God. Well, this scripture says, if you love God, you keep his commandments. 1 John 5:1 says that whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begat also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Actually, it's whoever is begotten of God. So the commandments. You want an example how to love people, love God? Just follow the commandments and put them in your hearts and minds. Easy to say, hard to do. Impossible without God's Spirit and without the abundance of it. We love God the Father, Jesus Christ, and all people, shown by the Ten Commandments. This is how we honor all. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2:17-21. This follows some scriptures after the introduction I gave on the 4 points. 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. These are the 4 points. And God's talking about us having honor. We must properly honor God and all people as disciples of Jesus Christ. We must live this way of life in all we believe, say, and do. He says, servants, be submissive to your ministers with all fear, but only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. He says, not only to the good and gentle, but also the harsh. For this is commendable, that because of conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is if you, when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ took an awful lot for us, for all human beings. And he said he did it for the joy set before him. The joy set before him was that he could see that all mankind would have a chance to come into the kingdom of God by that sacrifice. That was the joy he saw when he gave his sacrifice. Honor starts with honoring God the Father and Jesus Christ as the ultimate God family who has designed us and created us and knows what is best for us. The 4 points actually show what God wants and desires for us to learn to put into practice. In Matthew 24:37-40, I'm not turning to it, I'm just going to state it. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these hang all the law and the prophets. Everything I talk to you about today is covered under these two, these verses. When you seek God's will, that we live his way no matter what, when and why. God's will for us does not always seem right for us at the time, but always is. Take Job, for example. He was allowed to have great trials up to death for him to learn a lesson about how great God is over him. And at the end, he said in Job 42:5-6, he said, I've heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I bore myself and repeat and repent in dust and ashes. Through our trials and tests, we learn tremendous truths, and we learn to grow and overcome. That's why we have them. That's why we need to follow God. We honor the things he said. God's will is for us and all people to make him kingdom. This is not now for most, but we should be greatly desired for all. The things we go through now, the challenges, the trials and tests, are all to get us ready for the kingdom of God, for God, for ourselves, and for other people. That is why honor is so important, as we need to honor God who makes it all possible with everything. The leadership gives us for our ultimate good and honor and respect, similar to what he wants us to do in honoring our parents, our brethren, and all other people. One last scripture, 1 Peter 3:8-18. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, all of you, be of one mind, have compassion for one another, Love his brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on contrary, blessing, knowing that you are called to this and that you may inherit a blessing. Always do the right thing as a Christian and be honorable in all things, letting our good and God's ways overcome the world and represent the kingdom of God we are to become an eternal part of in the near future. Things are not just nor anywhere near perfect in this world, but the kingdom of God will be where the results will be perfectly just and all in unity and harmony with God. We must go about our Father's business and be honorable Christians in every way, no matter what the situation is, and trust God to take care of us. It is God's way.